Well, good morning again, and the message today is based on the scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Let me read it first, and it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now, I have to tell you a little interesting tidbit of information. We were in Montreal, as I mentioned yesterday, for the induction of Brian Berry, who you know. He is now the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Montreal, the senior pastor. And at that service, Walter gave a very nice message. I still remember the walk, race, soar. No, I'm going to walk part. That was really good.
Walk, run, and soar.
Or run, walk, run, and soar. Yeah, that was really good. And people decided, no, we'll walk. But interestingly enough, at the end of his message, he read exactly this same verse. And I'd already printed the bulletins and was getting ready for today. There are no coincidences in life. There is obviously a message here. One of the things that I have to admit, and I want to give credit for, is that we had give credit for the event. The event, the credit goes to Amanda and Nini and Isaac and Noah for the youth event that we had on Saturday last week. But the interesting thing is that we had it on the Saturday because on the Friday, when we really wanted to have it, Nini said, "No, we can't do it Friday night. I have to go to the Students Against Destructive Decisions meeting. I have to go to SADD. And it's an organization whose aim is to prevent incidents from students making potentially destructive decisions. I think that's really interesting. In fact, I never knew it existed, and I'm really pleased that there's at least somebody out there who's trying to help our youth make wise decisions, that they're able to use discernment in how they are going to lead their lives and what they're going to do. So, Nini, anytime you want to delay a meeting so you can go to SADD, please do so. And that's the same, you know, for anybody that is able to help others make the right decisions in life, that they can use proper discernment. How can we prevent people from making destructive decisions in their lives, in our own lives? How are we to discern? I was asked recently by somebody, how do I discern if I'm being influenced by an evil spirit? When I was at the pastor training program course, our professor said, "Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say when you have these kinds of questions?" How can a receiver and follower of Jesus Christ be discerning in this day and age of chaos, of injustice, of political turmoil, and all those other things that are going on around us? And that's not, those are world events, but also whether it's in our work environment, whether it's at our schools, whether it's in our family lives, wherever this can happen, how can we be discerning in this world that we live in today? How do we handle those questions and challenges from family and friends and co-workers, from fellow students. How can we answer the question when somebody comes forward and poses you a problem and says to you, well, what would you do? What would you do? What advice would you give? How would you handle that situation? How are you going to fix it yourself? Sometimes we have to be discerning. We have to be able to discern. And so what are the tools, or what is it that God, Jesus Christ, has given us so that we can discern? How are we to conduct ourselves when somebody asks one of these very meaningful and important questions sometimes? So I have two or three things that we can do. The first one, I hope this isn't a surprise to anybody. The first one is you pray. That's the very first thing you do, because God will hear you. And interestingly enough, he probably already knows what's the situation, and he's just waiting for you to share this problem with him so that you can discern the truth and come up with the right answer. The unfortunate part is, and I'm so glad that he's done this so that we can pray to him and that he will hear us and he will answer, is that if we want to pray for God's guidance, if we want to ask him to help us to discern what is the right thing to do, first of all, make sure that you've repented of sin, that there's no sin blocking that communication between you and God the Father. Because when we repent and we're willing to change, then he's going to listen and he's going to give us the guidance and the wisdom that we need to discern whatever is happening in that situation. So that's the first thing, is pray. The second one is, do you know and do you believe the truth? Do you know and believe the truth? In John 17:17, it says, thy word is truth. God's word is the truth. As I mentioned earlier, when you have questions, many, many times the answers are just waiting for you. But here's the truth that I think that's very important to understand. When we said the Apostles' Creed, did you believe what you said? Did you believe that God is the Father Almighty? Did you believe that he made, he is the great creator? If you don't believe that God created the world around us, don't go any further. That's a major event that has taken place. And unfortunately, there are so many people out there who don't want you to believe that. But there are many who can show you, people like Lee Strobel, that the creation was made by a great creator, and his name is God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth? Do you believe that when he came to this earth, he preached the kingdom of God? And he preached the kingdom of God because he wants us to be in it. Do you believe that he died on the cross? Do you believe that he was resurrected? Do you believe that he ascended into heaven? There are many who don't. They'll say, oh yeah, I know who Jesus Christ is. Great prophet, wonderful sayings. They'll quote the Bible for you. But deep down, they won't believe that he was resurrected and sits at the right-hand side of God the Father. That he is there as our intercessor and as our advocate, as our helper in all kinds of situations. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to be able to discern how to handle what life throws at you every day. Do you believe that that he rose, he ascended to heaven, he sits at the right hand side, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit as a gift to guide us in our lives? And that we receive that gift upon repentance and willingness to change. And why? So that we can be resurrected just like he was. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why Christ died. Do you believe? Because truth, prayer and truth are two essentials in being able to discern correctly. Third, this is interesting, and this is where it comes in Philippians. He says at the very beginning, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Love is the basis for making the decisions when you need to discern something. How, this is interesting. In John, 2 John chapter 6, not chapter, in 2 John verses 6 to 8, this is love, that when we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. We are to walk in love. If we're not walking in love, then we're not going to be capable of doing proper discernment, making the right decisions. When we cannot compromise with sin, we cannot compromise and sort of love now, but not always. We can't compromise. I think I've told this story, this example once before. And if I have, I apologize to those who have heard it already. But there was a family, and a couple of the guys in the family, they wanted to go to the movies one afternoon or one evening. But the movie was not adult, but 13 plus. And but so they went to their dad and they said, "Look, we want to go and see or watch this movie." And the father said, "Well, really, it's not a problem." "Well, no, Dad, we can understand it. When the bad stuff shows up on the screen, we'll just ignore it. We want to go and listen and watch this amazing movie. It's really very popular now with all of my friends. And let us go and watch this movie. Even though we know there's a few little things in there that are inappropriate, but we'll ignore them. We won't let them impact us." The father said, "Okay, let's have supper first. So be home for supper tonight, and then you can go to the movies." So supper comes around, they have a nice meal, and then he brings out this great big sheet of brownies. And the guys, "This is fantastic." He says, "Oh, hang on a second, I want you to know something." He says, I made these brownies this afternoon. I put some chocolate chips in there, but I also went out into the yard and I got a little bit of dog poop and I put some of it into the caking sheet. I put little drops of dog poop in here. So here, I'm going to cut up the cake for you and just ignore the poop, but eat the rest." Okay, and that's exactly the same thing. You don't compromise with sin. You don't say, "Well, I can ignore it." No, you can't. You can't. What is love? You can read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but there's four key points here that we should know about and believe and execute in our own lives about what is love. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes and it always perseveres. And so when you are confronted where you have to make some discerning decision in your life, remember that love protects. It does not expose. It does not broadcast failures or wrongs of other people. It trusts. If you're confronted with somebody who wants to have an answer to something, let them trust you, but you trust them too. You should have hope and you should persevere. Love also doesn't judge. You can read the rest in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is an important ingredient in being able to execute proper discernment. So how do we put truth and love into our daily lives, into practice? Well, first of all, it says in 1 John, dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So what he's saying is, remember the truth. If some spirit, some influence, some inspiration is coming to you that is not based on the truth, then you know it's evil, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. It has to be. It has to reflect your truth and your belief and your faith. So that's one point. The second part is turn from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Why would you want to? Oh, I love this. It likes to turn itself on and off. Okay, so we turn from evil. That was good, right? Turn from the evil of the light turning itself off and go for the good, all right? Seek peace, pursue it. Make love abound and the basis of your life. You put love first. Love must be sincere, not reluctant. Not surface level love. Not doing things out of love because you think you have to. Don't think that you're doing some duty by loving. No, God says love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above ourselves. In John, 1 John 4, we're going to go to the races. Okay, in 1 John 4, it says, dear friends, let us love one another. Yes, we love you, Lynn, it's okay. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We have received love, and therefore we are to give love, thanks to Jesus Christ. Now the next part about love, well, where is it to come from? Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, interestingly enough, here's that word truth again, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another from the heart, not from the mind. You don't love because of the, for you love from the heart, not from what you may see. Love from the heart, it says. How do we do that as well? Get rid of bitterness. That's hard. That's hard. Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of brawling and slander along with every kind of... We have to get rid of the negative in our lives. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Compassionate means being forgiving. tolerating, respecting, loving one another, forgiving, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as what Frank read about Zacchaeus, God not only forgave him, Zacchaeus invited him into Zacchaeus' home. He was a tax collector, like we talked about last week. Tax collectors were the scum of the earth. And Jesus went and ate with the tax collectors because he was loving, forgiving. Again, in Ephesians, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk. Walk in the way of love. That's how we are to be perceived. We walk in the way of love. We are known because we love. We're not greedy. We're not selfish. We walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, prayer, number one. Then we have truth and love. You have to have both together. You cannot have one and not the other if you're going to make proper discernment. As you discern God's word, as you discern a situation in a relationship, as you discern what's going on in your own life or those of others, or when somebody comes to you with a challenge or a problem or asks, what do you think? You need truth and you need love before you can give an answer. And your answer should be based on both of those. There's a scripture. I couldn't sort of put it all together at one time, but now I sort of get a bit of an answering. In Psalm 85, verse 10, it says, love and faithfulness meet together. Love, faithfulness meaning you believe, you have faith. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. You need it all to be able to give proper discernment, whatever you're confronted with. Whether it's somebody saying, am I being inspired by an evil spirit? If it's somebody saying, I'm aware, or somebody makes you aware of some terrible thing that another person may have done, and how should that be handled? We've been given that instruction, and that instruction came and comes from Philippians chapter 1. And this is my prayer, this is Paul, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and deep of sight. The love comes first, so that you may be able to discern what is best. You discern based on love. You discern based on truth, and may be pure and blameless of the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes. How does it come? It comes through Jesus Christ. Why? For his glory, and so that we can praise him. To the glory and praise of God. Great God, our Father in heaven, we come before you. And we just thank you for your word. And above all, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth. We thank you that, God, you are the God of love, not of hate, not of jealousy, but of pure love. Give us wisdom in our discernment when we are confronted with questions. Maybe there are questions of our own, or questions that others bring to us, or situations that we may find ourselves in. Hear our prayer. Help us to believe in the truth completely and totally, and always answer whatever is brought to us. Help us to answer in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.